We're radioactive. This is 99.3. We're Nigeria Info. 16 minutes past 12. The sun rises here. Welcome to another work week where radio happens on the sunny side. We're 24 hours a day. We're 7 days a week. This is Nigeria Info. And I hope you had a very beautiful weekend. Well, beautiful in the midst of thorns and horror. Beautiful in the midst of chaos and uncertainty. Beautiful in the midst of hopelessness, even death. Beautiful. Well, I say that to say that finally I've allowed myself to confront this conversation once again. And today on the show, we're going to be discussing insecurity. Nothing you haven't heard before. But maybe this time around, we would have the opportunity to get updated, get a security's point of view to a matter that bedevils all of us. Insecurity in Nigeria, kidnappings, Boko Haram. And I think the nature of kidnappings lately is one that honestly we need to ask whether we have gotten to that point where we ask the government to declare a state of emergency. Well, you live in a city that's relatively safe. You live in an environment where you do not expect the unnecessary to occur. And for that reason, you wake up every day and you go to work. But then when you check the news, you hear kidnappings, you hear deaths. And so what I've decided to do today is when we have our guest join us in about 10 minutes from now, something less, I'm going to recap what may just appear to be stories. Thank you, lady. Stories I found on the web in the month of December 2023. Just kidnapping, Boko Haram stories in 1 month in the year 2023, and that would be December. And that's not to say that it hasn't happened in other months. I think I'm trying to draw a sketchy picture as to what we could be dealing with here. And this is not all of it, so this is not comprehensive. There are probably stories I may have omitted, lost sight of, for whatever reason, but of course I can't run by your hearing all of the facts reported in the months of December, but at least I can attempt to make you aware of what appears to be the country we're living in. As far as insecurity is concerned, what exactly are we talking about? Today on the show, 12:30, joining us would be Commodore Kunle Olaomi. I would love to get his perspective on security and poverty. Our first hour, that would be it. Our second hour, I want to discuss the pain of ransom and the fact that over the weekend on social media, some of the persons who have unfortunately suffered this tragedy have had relatives come on social media asking for a crowdfund to pay ransom. So our second hour, I want public reaction to it. I want the public to react to the insecurity in Nigeria. I want the public to react to crowdfunding. So then again, I think it would be necessary to lay side by side what appears to be alternatives. So it's either we're crowdfunding because we don't have monies to pay ransom, or the people may have another alternative, say for example, a protest. I'm watching the news and Israel is holding repeated protests. In fact, I think the one on Saturday was a 24-hour protest for the release of 130-plus people. And in my head, I was trying to make a calculation of how many Nigerians have maybe been kidnapped, killed, and what has been the people's reaction to it. Or do we all assume that the story is so distant and far-flung that it's something that may not happen to us in the immediate? And maybe then again, we're occupied with the need to survive, the need to cater for living on a day-to-day basis, that there isn't enough time on the clock to fight for yourself and fight for someone else. So yes, second hour, we'll be looking at insecurity and how paying of ransom is now a matter to be crowdfunded for. Okay, so that and then at 2:30, the education unit will be here first, CRT, to give you a window into a world of what's possible within the educational, I wouldn't say sector, the educational world. Sometimes you need to know what your options are in order to make a leap of faith. Sometimes you need to know what your options are so that you can make an informed decision. So on at 2:30 today on the show, First CRT will be here with facts around education. So you don't want to miss that for nothing. So packed today, we're busy. My name's Joyce. Welcome to Nigeria Info. In the meantime, we're off on a musical break. We'll be right back. Naughty Boy, Beyonce. This is titled Running. The sunny side, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Mumford & Sons, I'll wait for you. 33 minutes past 12 on the clock. Okay, so just a little glitch in here and we'll rectify because my engineers are on it. And then, of course, our guest will be joining us because he's already on the other end of science and technology. All right, so first, I'd love to tell you about a new program kicking off February, The State. And I think I may be looking forward to that show as much as you are. Maybe it's just about time that we focus on state development. I mean, I think we speak on it, but we do not focus as much as we can on state development. And so the program, The State, allows us to do just that. And how this works is we'll have two people from different states in the studio. Yes, and it's randomly chosen, but I think I would be fair in my own assumption, trying to quantify state developments, a power parity of a sort, and maybe pair those in the same weight class, you know, against those with whom they pretty much share maybe similarity to any degree. All right. So you come into the studio, you speak about the good part, and then during cross-examination, each representative will go at the other state, discussing what's good, what's bad. No, discussing what's bad about the state. And then after that, we'll discuss what the state must do in order to better its developmental chances for an upward economic swing. And if you'd love to be a part of it, I'll love your indication either on Twitter or on Instagram. On Twitter, Joyce Onyemua on Twitter, and on Instagram, I, Joyce Onyemua on Instagram. It would be a brilliant way to discuss, interrogate state development. And I'd love for you to do just that with me on the show on the sunny side. This afternoon, the pleasure is mine to have once again Commodore Kunle Olawumi, a security expert. He's been on the show before. You have enjoyed both his opinion, point of view, his perspective, and of course, maybe looking back at what he has done for this country. You honor his labor and his commitment to social security. And today, the sun rises on this possibility to have him back on the show. Sir, my pleasure having you here. Thank you very much for honoring me.
Yeah, good afternoon. You're welcome.
And a happy new year to you. I haven't seen you this year.
Yeah, happy new year. It's really nice to see you again.
Really, really nice to see you here. So we're back here to discuss what may be at this moment in our national history exhausting for you, a conversation to have. Personally, I think talking about situations, we keep hoping that it gets better. Now, there is no fact to this assumption that things are better. Well, there isn't any fact to the statement that things are better. So I want to ask you, as someone who has served this nation, what your take is on the current current security issue first, and then I would love your opinion on how the insecurity in Nigeria affects the economy. Please go ahead.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure to be on your program all the time. I respect your program, and that's why I'm actually coming up. The country, as it were, has not changed much since Buhari time. And it's understandable because I said that whoever is coming to repair the damage caused by Buhari has a lot of work to do. So it's a little bit early to look at what Tinubu is doing and try to evaluate it. The review is a little bit early. Well, however, the box ends on the table of the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. There's no excuse. I know that Tinubu has his job well spelled out before he came to apparently to rescue the country from the damage that was done in 8 years, plus the other 8 years. So I think he should have known that the first thing he needs to fight is security. And I'm aware that Tinubu has a lot of reserve that helped him to structure the security architecture before he came on board. So I'm still watching him, but I don't know if he's making use of those elements. I know some of the strategic teams that try to ensure that it will be easy for him to focus on this security issue once he hit the ground running. I'm not too sure that the approach that Tinubu is applying today has changed very much from what Buhari did. Why they are making the same mistakes is what I don't understand. I can only attribute the political environment in Nigeria that is so intertwined. And it's like governance in Nigeria is just a continuum. The same set of people, maybe it's different color, but the same set of people. Otherwise, I don't want to look for excuse for Tinubu for not being able to do what I expected him to do. Focus on those guys that are sponsoring these narratives, you know, and take them out. If you like, you can buy all the weapons you want and recruit 10,000 troops every day. It's not going to stop it. So it has always been the approach. Why they use the same approach? Maybe it's because of corruption, because when you say you're buying weapons and recruiting people, you can always account for the money somehow. I think people just use this to steal money. And they must have been advising him wrongly, because the approach has been the same for the past 6 months I've been watching. Kinetic approach, you know, bombing, shooting. I've not seen a change in the rule of law, the application of law. I've not seen people that has been tried, sentenced, and punished correspondently. Even if you kill people, I mean, there used to be those kind of rule of law those days. I've not seen any of the sponsors that were arrested during Buhari's time that we know. Mm-hmm. I've not seen them being taken out. I don't know whether Tinubu wants to pretend that he doesn't know, because I know he knows. So if you know them and they are still in the corridors and you claim to be fighting insurgency, why the sponsors are still roaming the street? It's a travesty, because I'm very careful not to start throwing blames. But I think it's enough time for him to have arrested some of those people, take them out, and give peace a chance in this country.
Okay, so sometimes I think that we on this side of the Nigerian map are removed from what appears to be the terror that's in the wind. And every time, even as a journalist, that I have to report on insecurity, I wonder how much of this is being told exactly as it should be told. So if you would allow me a few minutes, I would need your patience. I want to run by your hearing what was a random internet pull-up of kidnappings and killings that may have occurred in December alone, which is 10 months of this administration. December 1st, gunman kidnapped priest, one other in Imo State. December 6th, parents whose children were kidnapped along the Zamfara Highway. On August 17th, 2023, traveling to Sokoto State Orientation Camp for the NYSC, appealed to the federal government and a Kwaibom State government to assist in rescuing their children. December 12th, one killed, 12 kidnapped in Abuja. December 17th, Anambra State Police Command rescues 4 children. Okay. December 17th, the troops successfully rescue 13 kidnapped victims and arrested 11 suspected terrorists. Logistics supplies to a notorious terrorist kingpin in Zamfara State. December 17th, 87 Chibok girls still in Boko Haram captivity. December 18th, Abuja musician band members reportedly kidnapped while returning from an event on the 18th of December. December 25th, armed forces have killed at least, armed groups killed a little over, 160. Actually, it's reported. The figures kind of dwindle here and there, but Voice of America reports it to be 160 people, central Nigeria. That's what happened in Jos. We also heard 25th morning, gunmen kill 8 in fresh Plateau attacks. December 31st, Sahara Reporters reports fresh attacks in Nigeria's Plateau community, killing 3. Now, this is just a random pull-up in 1 month. We can't absorb this administration of what appears to be the burden of duty to face insecurity head on. Now, if this isn't happening and people are being kidnapped and people are still dying. Now, this is just for December. I haven't even run by your hearing what has happened in January, which we're going to go on into in a moment, because in January, we are hearing of crowdfunding for people kidnapped. So this... are we in a state of emergency?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's unfortunate. I've been in this kind of situation before. And the theories are very, very simple. You see, to fight insurgency, counterterrorism, there are theories. I don't like to be a little bit... talking down on people that are governing us. I think just a lot of... maybe it's illiteracy, because there are theories that governs some of these things, and they are doable. Usually, it is always logistic and finance that hinders people, but Nigeria doesn't have that problem. It's just that lack of common sense. A policeman or an ordinary citizen will tell you that when you have a crime like this, there's a simple logic. They say, follow the money. It's as simple as that. You are doing crowdfunding. They are collecting 20 million, 100 million. Why can't you follow the money? How is it difficult? Is that 100 million going to be spent in Saudi Arabia?
Oh, no, this is the worst part. So we hear that there is a former minister who told his friend about the current kidnapping that happened in Abuja, and his friend donated 50 million to pay as ransom. No, this is unbelievable. Like, of all the horror stories that are conceivable, this has got to be one inconceivable, where a former minister is moved enough to get his friend to pay 50 million Nigerian naira to bandits. That's where we are. Are we in a state of emergency? And is the government not taking this as seriously as it should?
I think that's the answer. I think the government is not serious enough. It's about political will. It's not about the, you know, because when you look at countering terrorism, there are 4 steps. And I tell people, the most important step and the first step is to prevent it. Prevention. Now, if that is not working well, then you actually go to protection. You protect the citizen, maybe getting more police and so on. Then if you get a leeway, you go to pursue. And the last one is respond. In Nigeria, I want to say that we always pursue and respond. We do not consider the prevention. If somebody is donating 50 million, why can't you mark that 50 million? What is the difficulty in marking that money? And when it is spent, let's say even 3 months later, it can be traced. Follow the money. So it's either there's no political will, or I think we have a lot of people in positions that are just, they are lethargic. I think they are just lazy. If you give 50 million and you mark the money, it's a matter of time that money is going back into the circulation. Just follow the money. It's a simple principle. But they know already who are these people. They know them. So we can speak grammar. I can prefer solutions. But if the government today is also showing that is not willing to fight terrorism and insurgency, then it's going to really give me a depression, because I know the effort that was made, you know, prior to all this stability in the government to ensure that the first thing that to be fought is this charade. I call it charade because it's the people in government, in CBN, in foreign affairs, some in the military, some in politics, that are orchestrating these things. And I've told them 2-3 years back, look for the people that are benefiting from insurgency. There's no doubt in my mind that people are benefiting from this. The Dubai government, Abu Dhabi, they have given us the list of these people that are paying dollars, buying arms for insurgents. The government of Buhari also told us they caught some 400 people. Joyce, where are those people? Why are they not tried by the past government? If the past government shows unwillingness to try them, why is it taking Tinubu this long? I would just want to know why is it taking him this long? The Department of State Services leadership has remained intact, which I was monitoring, which I think is a strategy to ensure that all the relevant information are intact. Tinubu cannot tell me today that he has not been briefed by the relevant agencies, especially the Department of State Services, about those people that has been causing carnage, chaos, injustice. He must have been briefed. So, Joyce, the problem in Nigeria is lack of political will.
Well, one may be forced to differ, because I don't know if it's a lack of political will or if this is corruption. Now, I really don't want to swing you too low as to revealing details, but the news reports that bandits, you know, take over a territory and impose taxes on residents. For that to happen, I think the state must be aware. So, what do you think about the possibility that because the government knows these people, they tend to maybe turn the other way and allow some of these social ills continue? And how much of this is maybe the government also permits it, like deliberately permits it? Because how do bandits impose taxes on citizens, free citizens?
Yeah, definitely the government is aware of what is going on. That's not debatable. And if the president, commander-in-chief, is serious about doing this, you declare a state of emergency. No governor wants to hear that the president, commander-in-chief, is making proposition to declare his state a state of emergency in the state. No governor wants that. Because when he does, he has lost control of that state. And it's almost like, you know, demotion or relegation. Then you have to activate the processes. So why can't the president, commander-in-chief, declare a state of emergency in Niger state? Why is the governor still there? What's he sitting down there doing? He's supposed to be the chief security officer of that state. And bandits have captured some part of your state. They are raising flags, and you are the chief security officer, and every month you collect security votes, and you are still swinging your agbada and without shame. He should be removed from there, and the state of emergency should be declared. So you are asking whether are we in a state of emergency. It's only the president, commander-in-chief, that can declare a state of emergency if you look at the constitution. But that is not the issue. There's no political will to actually put those governors where they belong, because they are part of everything you see there. They know about it, but they just don't care about the plight of the people that voted them into power. They see them just like animals. They know about it. Some of those people, they eat with them. The bandits come to their houses in the night and eat and collect money. I don't want to go to a point where I will start mentioning some critical things here. But if you want to combat what is going on, there are also three steps. But what I discover in these steps is that Nigeria is always looking at the very unimportant steps. For instance, if you want to counter terrorism, for instance, I mean, there are about three policies. The first one is awareness. Awareness. And we know that the government, both at federal level and at state level, they are aware. They are aware. So that is the most important step. The second step is capabilities. Now, if you look at Nigerian state, we don't like the capacity or the capability to fight insurgency. The number three one is engagement. How do you go about engaging them? There's a shortfall from that aspect because I've watched the engagements of terrorists in the past 10, 15, 20 years. And it has remained the same pattern.
Okay. Sir, pardon me. I hate to interrupt your thinking. I'm off on a break in about a few minutes from now. When I come back, I want to refer to something a retired colonel, Hassan, said about the last administration. The last time you were here, you also spoke about what needed to be done. Now, given that what needs to be done is not being done, what are we left with? So that's where we're going to begin when we return from the break. Lagos, we're off on a break. We'll be right back. Nigeria Info, the sunny side. We have with us our guest, Commodore Kunle Olaomi. When we return, he continues. To 9.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. If you have just tuned in, well, you are in for a show. We have with us this afternoon Commodore Kunle Olaomi joining us from somewhere on the face of the planet. sir, thank you very much for giving me your time. But just before I allow you start speaking, I want to share with you and, of course, the listening audience a conversation by Hassan, Mr. Hassan, a retired colonel. And I would love for you to speak on his position because he gave a view. Well, he gave his view on the last administration and their quote unquote inability to tackle insecurity. He was on Arise Television. And Lagos, if you would, here is Colonel Hassan.
I would say I agree with the opinion that General Buhari in the last 8 years or thereabouts did virtually nothing. And I mean virtually nothing in our fight against terrorism. If anything, he promoted and enhanced our hardship as far as the fight against terrorism was concerned. It's unfortunate that we are talking about our number one citizen, as at then, within the period of the last 8 years, a period which I refer to that Nigeria had no political leader. We saw all the lines of actions taken by the political strategic level of decision making. We saw all the lines of action taken even from the presidency. We saw how ministers who had business or things to do with terrorists were made to remain in their positions as ministers. One was even in charge of our entire national data. We could go on and on and on. We allowed undue sentiments right from the presidency to be visited in our alleged purported plan or action against terrorism. You could read religion, you could read tribalism, you could read ethnicity, and so on. It's unfortunate. And at the subnational level, we had governors, especially up north where I come from, under that administration that had all sorts of romance and unholy relationship with terrorism, degenerating to a situation where some of them were even talking of amnesty. It was shocking to some of us. Amnesty for who? You tell me they are repentant repentant terrorists. Repentant from what? We are soldiers. Our duty is not to come here and grant repentance. Our duty is to hasten your appointment with God to heaven or hell, where he will grant you penance. So for us to be bringing large number of men from the forest who hitherto were armed and taking on fellow Nigerians, then on the appearance of soldiers, they drop their weapon and you are compelled as a professional to take them PWs and you bring them back to us and say they are repentant what?
Thank you very much once again for your time. So a quick summary. He does say that ministers who had been fingered with this whole allegation of terrorism remained ministers. He said one even in charge of our national data. He said he could, as a colonel, he saw religion play out, ethnicity play out. He said there were even some governors who had a romance with terrorism. You are a commodore. He is a colonel. Between the both of you lies some truth to this terror that stares us blank in the eye. I don't know what we have as recourse as a people, civilians, unarmed. Is there something you can tell us? And is there something that people must do? Is there an understanding we need to come to? Is there some accepting of fate that we are left to accept? Is there redemption? Is there salvation for Nigerians?
Yeah, thank you very much. Colonel Stanlambo is a colleague and I always like his submissions. But I think the challenge I normally have is that I look at the remote causes of problems. Because the immediate causes, sometimes you can easily assuage them one by one. They become very complex, you know. But the remote cause of what Buhari did, you know, I really don't want to talk about Buhari anymore. He has done his worst and he's gone, okay? But the remote causes of those things is that, I'm not shy to say that some of these guys are not Nigerians. I'm not talking about the terrorists or the whatever. Some of our leaders in the past are not actually Nigerians. Because you cannot be a Nigerian and have the opportunity to govern this space. And all you did was to destroy everything. Buhari came with a vengeance. He came with an agenda. And he has done his worst. Let him go. Now we have Tinubu there. What is he doing to ameliorate some of this concern that you have actually projected? Look at the interest rate. Look at the economic situation. Look at inflation. Look at the exchange rate. I think we should just forget that Buhari ever existed. Because when we are going to write the history, we are going to be putting him in the class of all this Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, and all those worst character that governed space on this. So don't let us waste time on Buhari.
Okay.
But right now, the people of Nigeria are suffering because of his antecedents. What Stanlambo said is pure truth. He is correct. Yeah. Nepotism, religion, and all those stuff. These people came from other places and maybe they came with a vengeance to destroy this country out of envy. That's the way I look at it, because you cannot be a Nigerian and shipping people from Sudan, from Sahel, to come and start killing people, burying them. And because we know that they were doing that. It's a fact. They want to dispute, they should bring it on. They were the one doing all these things. So if you are a Nigerian, you cannot do that to your country, except you are not from that part of the world. And it's still happening. They are recruiting people now into the police, into the army that are coming from Niger, Mali, and all those stuff. And they are just claiming they are from Lagos State and all those stuff.
That's my next question.
And one day,
That's my next question. This recruitment of repentant, bandits into the police force in Kano. What in the name of the Nigerian spirit justifies this? And do we indeed say that these are repentant people? And so one way to incorporate them into society would be to forgive them, give them uniforms and access to arms. What's your position on how this may be beneficial, if it is at all beneficial?
No, I think something is going on somewhere. Because this is how we got to where we are now, and it's still going on. It's a strategic plan by some people to impose their own tribe, maybe from Futajalon Island, from Mali, from Sudan, from Northern Cameroon, from Chad, to impose their people to govern this space. Because I've thought about this over the years, and I cannot explain why in Nigeria we'll be doing what you just mentioned. I watched the video, I watched the comments. Two things must be going on. It's either the governor of that state, because maybe he's trying to copy the Hizbah, the Amotekun, or whatever. Maybe, I think maybe he misconstrued the concept of DDR, disarmament, demobilization, and reintegration, which is supposed to be like an EU, UN concepts, you know, of trying to look, how do we look at the issue of peacemaking and peace enforcement, you know. Either he misconstrued the whole concept because he's an illiterate, or he's doing it deliberately to appease those, their boys that they use to cause carnage in those areas. And when you put them in, you can call it constabulary, whatever you name it, but they are wearing police uniform. Once we forget, in another 6 months, 9 months, they'll be integrated into the police. And one day, one of them, one of those boys are going to be your Inspector General of Police. Give you maybe another 40 years, or even less than maybe 30 years or 20 years. Those boys you are seeing will later become your Inspector General of Police in this country. And it will be from Sudan, or it's from Mali, or it's from Chad. This has been happening. Nigeria is a very... It's a place where we condone iniquities and we just smile over it. As I mentioned, most people that have destroyed this country are not from here. It's a very strong allegation I'm making. You cannot be a father in a home. You have 5 children and you allow armed robbers to come into your house, rape your wife, kill your children because of religion, because of nepotism. You cannot do that. You cannot, as a father, allow armed robbers to come and rape your wife in your house. It only means you are not the father. You cannot be a president, commander-in-chief, and allow foreigners to come into your country. You sponsor them, and they were killing and raping people. And you say you are the president of that country. It means you are not from that country.
So, sir...
And this is a very strong allegation.
Okay, sir.
So, what they are doing in Canada, I'm sorry, about recruiting all these people, who is going to pay their salary? Is it the defense budget, the defense vote is going to use to pay their salary, wearing police uniforms, say they are constabularies? I mean, this shows the gap between the North and the South. This just showed the kind of impunity they think they can conduct. How can you gather criminals? It's like me now. Sorry to take your time.
Please, some would ahead. Please, go ahead.
He will go to Isaleko, Idugoron, go and carry all those area boys. Give them a bath and wear a police uniform for them. And say, because he wants to, he's doing... The demobilization, reintegration. Is that the meaning of reintegration? That's why I say maybe it's about illiteracy. You know, some of these people really don't go to school. The concept of the UN program is after the hostilities has ended. Now you are now trying to demobilize those people that are still having arms, and you are trying to reintegrate them by either sending them to schools where they can learn handwork, artisanship, or you build factories and employ them, or you build farms in the north. There is a lot of land. Build farms and let them you know, cultivate the land and produce food. You cannot wear uniform for them and say you are giving them employment. This is, for me, it just shows the level of illiteracy in some of this. Why can't you send them to farm and let them cultivate onions, tomatoes, and so on? Why are you wearing uniform for them and paying them salary? How much salary is that governor going to pay these criminals that will be enough for them to live? People that have been collecting 100 million, 50 million for ransom, for kidnapping, now you now wear uniform for them, you're going to pay them 30,000 naira a month. One, they will not stay. Two, you have just helped the remaining criminals to have insiders in the government to pass information to them. If they want to kidnap even that governor himself, it is those same people that he has put uniform on them that will be giving information to the people outside. Because the war is not over. You cannot conduct DDR. You cannot integrate people into the security system, and there are people are still fighting in the forest. So they be informants to them. This is how dull these people are. These people you are calling for stability are going to be the informants to the terrorists in the bush. You are supposed to send them to the farm, to factories where they can work. You don't put on uniform and give them arms. So that's why I say it's either they are so dull or they have an agenda. Because they are putting these people now in the security system, and it's a matter of time, because we forget easily. In the next 10 years, you may not be doing this business again. Maybe I'll be dead. These people will still be in the system. They are like Iranians, the Persians. They can continue this project, Joyce, for the next 1,000 years of turning this place to like a Taliban ground where there'll be bloodbath, people be using sword to cut people's head, and they will, for the next 1,000 years, they will continue.
The service chiefs.
It's just continue.
Yeah. The service chiefs appeared before House of Representatives last year, November 2023, and they listed their challenges. Now, they outlined, you know, poor logistic provisions, insufficient patrol vehicles for police divisions, inadequate training, poor welfare for personnel. One of the issues they raised is the daily 1,500 naira fitting allocated to the military. Sir, is this an excuse, or are these really the issues besetting their capacity to tackle this issue that appears to be exploding in our faces?
Yeah, you know, because, sorry to say, the way we look at challenges is usually not the way they are supposed to be tackled. I mean, we are discussing tactical issues now. That's the lower aspect of policy, strategic, and operation. I mean, you're giving somebody 1,005. I was a soldier. And if you give me even 200 naira, if you say that's what I'm entitled to, and it's statutory, I don't query it. It's not a problem for me. Soldiers don't work on their stomach. They don't query some of these things. That is not the problem. You know, if you don't guide a soldier, soldiers obey orders. Give orders, they will do. They don't try to use their initiative as much as they're supposed to. Except you are at the strategic level. And even if you're at the strategic level, when you discuss with the politicians, that's time you know how hollow, how empty they are.
Wow.
They don't know how to conduct this operation. It's not paying them, you don't pay them enough, you didn't buy enough weapons, and so on. Tell me, how many are these insurgents? How many, if you gather all of them together today, what is their number? What is the kind of arms? And when you are fighting the asymmetry that is backed up by hostile intelligence services, as is the case in Jos, I don't know whether we're going to get there, you will observe that everything has to do, and I want you to take note of this, with the domestic subversive organizations. The Nigerians are the one behind all this catastrophe. And as long as these Nigerians are behind it, the soldiers cannot do much. If the president did not give them the way they should go. Because in intelligence circle, I've said it in some programs, the first and the most important aspect of intelligence circle is direction. We call it commander's intelligence requirement. It is very vital. If the commander-in-chief does not even know how to give his direction, I'm telling you, soldiers are like zombies. Fella said it. If you don't give me direction, if you say I should sleep, I will sleep. If you say I should jump, I will jump. But if you don't even know how to say jump, I may be hesitant. We need to get quality leadership. It's not about money, weapon. That's not what is hindering them. What is hindering them is that people in the position of power that were criminals in mind already, we get people that are criminals into the space of governance. So every action and every orders and direction they give is to enrich them further. That's it. It's to enrich them. Everything's about money. So if they say, oh, soldiers should move to this place, they are thinking, okay, maybe they are asking them to move so that they can create space for the miner, the Chinese they will bring here to come and mine. They will have to create that space. So they will tell the soldiers to move to the move towards Zamfara. Chief of Army Staff should relocate to Borno. Meanwhile, they are mining the gold in Ilesha. Everything these civilians, everything they do is to acquire dirty money. So that's why I say, when I discuss on TV or radio, people don't follow me very well because I look at the remote causes of problems. It's not about the money, the weapon, they don't have enough weapon, they are overwhelmed. That's not the problem.
All right.
Everything emanates remotely from the politicians that are stealing dirty money, mining resources, bringing foreigners to mine gold, uranium, platinum, tin, columbite. They are the one causing this problem. And as long as we keep on focusing on tactical measures, you know, visual of buy more weapons, buy more aircraft, buy this one, we will never solve the problem of the soldiers in Nigeria.
Okay.
You have to go after the sponsors, the politicians have to be tried and sentenced.
Okay. Sir, I'm going to quickly go off on a break. When we come back, we'll talk about resources and the event that happened in Jos. Lagos, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Let's talk.
We're back. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. We're radioactive and actively trying to attempt a solution mentally in hopes that we can attain an actual resolve physically on state level, on the national level, on the federal level. The situation in Nigeria really is just huge cause for concern. And when you read the news, hear the news reports, one wonders what exactly the government is doing about situations. Well, sometimes it's about what they're not doing. Our guest this afternoon is Commodore Kunle Olaomi. Such a pleasure having you here. But yes, now at this moment, sir, it would be good to take a look at Jos. I would love your idea, your knowledge as to what may have occurred and maybe the root cause of the problem. Between 23rd and Christmas in 2023, coordinated attacks were carried out by since who survivors say Fulani herders. Now, apart from over 100 persons being killed in the affected communities, properties worth millions of naira is reported to have been destroyed and people displaced. Now, this is not the first time Plato has been in the news for such level of tragedy. In fact, I've even lost count, to be honest. Now, one wonders whether there is latent in this bad reporting or this bad news an ethnic problem or religious problem. What is, in your view, the issue of Plato State?
Joyce, this is an interesting topic. Will I surprise you if I say it's none of the above? It's not religious, it's not ethnic.
Okay.
Will you be surprised?
I would be, because then the next question is, so what is it?
Yeah. It's about mineral resources. And people that, I don't know the kind of name I want to give them, that are ready to, lose their essence for a pot of porridge. I mean, sometimes I wonder whether they're really human beings, you know. When I was at the Defense Intelligence College, we have a place in Jos where we go for exercise. I won't mention it. And, you know, we go around the mountains, the bushes, and so on. And you can almost be picking things. I mean, I'm talking about columbine things. You can pick them on the ground. There's columbine, there's niobium, there is tin, there's uranium, there's tantalite, there's wolfram, there's kaolin, there's zircon. These mineral resources are so... I mean, the white men are just pretending that they don't need them. Let me tell you, any rocket you see that is being fired by the United States, by Israel, by any of this war power, they are the materials are in Jos. Jet engines, oil rigs, radio transmitters, as you are talking to me, all those your transmitters, if you go and look at those equipment, they are made from materials that you can find in Jos. Aeroplane, electronics, defense processing, capacitors in your equipments are in Jos. That is why people are being killed there. And Nigerians are the one working with the Oyibos, the white men, Chinese, Chon Chon, all those stupid colored people you see around. It is our own people that are working together with them to kill our people, drive them off that land, and be mining the resources. It has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. Most of these people that are coming to kill our people are not even Nigerians. So what is the ethnic issue there? They're not Nigerians now. They import them, keep them in a bush somewhere. When they have to do an operation, they mobilize them. They kill Nigerians like them so that they can have space to mine minerals. And this is the only country I think I've seen, because even in Ghana, you can't do it, where, you know, you just give people mining license, you know, because somebody's your brother, you can give him a license. Then he will go and start digging somewhere. And if the farmers complain, then you send your soldiers, which you call militants, or you call whatever name we call them. You just unleash your soldiers on them, drive them off that place, and you continue to mine. So you can ask as an enlightened person, what a country is this one? Is this a country? I saw somebody on television, he was proud to be saying that he has a mining license, he's a miner. Can you do that in China? Can a Chinese man say he's a miner? He will be digging somewhere and be mining things and be bringing a plane from whatever to carry them away as a personal, it's like it's a personal business. This is not a country. That is the issue. That's why I talk about the remote causes of things. It's not religion, it's not ethnicity. All those ones, they are deception, because the first thing that you lose in war is the truth. That's the first thing that suffers. You'll be getting all this information. They are just deception. They are throwing those things out. Ethnic something. Biram killed this one. Fulani killed that one. No. At the base are Nigerians, politicians. I, because I'm on air, I don't want to use languages, because I'm so irritated by them. How can you be killing people because you want to make money? Then you go to Dubai with your big stomach. Then you go there, carry some small girls, and that's what to do with the money. That is blood money. It's not religion.
Okay.
And you can quote me as an authority. I've worked in those places. General Said, the Chief of Defense Intelligence, who was my brother, he has died. He died a few months ago. He lives in Jos. I go there. We go hunting. There's so much mineral resources there. And our own politicians, our own people, some of them, of course, I say they are from other countries. They are here in government. And they're just destroying the country.
Sir, there's been a conversation about bearing arms. The last time you were here, you gave me a figure on soft arms, small arms on the streets of Nigeria. Once again, this issue of insecurity has forced back up the need to bear arms. Now, some people even disagree with the sensibility in that. They say, well, bearing arms could endanger society. Others say, in cases of insecurity, the Nigerian should be allowed to bear arms. Now, you are frustrated. I guess probably I'm not even able to quantify the frustration because of the repetitive nature of the situation around insecurity in Nigeria, where there's so much talk and not enough is done to curb or at least to put faith in the people that the government is for them to defend them when and where necessary. What do you think about the bearing of arms? I mean, everything taken into consideration.
You'll be surprised at my answer. The answer is no.
Okay.
I've been attacked sometimes somewhere. I don't want to give details. And the person that attacked me, I could see it was a police-marked weapon that was used on me. The weapon being used is those old submachine gun that the Kill and Go used to carry, marked. Police rent weapon out. Is it new? You go and get all these criminals that you say they are thugs, and you give them uniform. They are going to rent it out. Now, if you allow Nigerians to carry arms, you will see in the long run that it is people that are not qualified to bear that arms that will be given arms. This, as I said, I'm not trying to be derogative of my country. I'm a proud Nigerian. But you can see the way people are just behaving. I say this is a banana republic. You will see that once you give that go ahead, it is the criminals themselves, because the politicians will get it en masse, register it in the name of their thugs, and they will give them weapons. And you, that you are educated, you are supposed to get this thing, they will make your life miserable. You will never get that license. But the governor or the senators will get like 1,000 and share it to his thugs. It's going to be, there'll be anarchy.
All right.
Okay? Yeah. So for me, the good governance will resolve some of these things. It may be a long haul.
Yeah.
But if there are good governance, you will not need to bear arms. Because if you proliferate the environment, which already we have more than 6 million arms, small arms, in the system. If you now throw it open,
if you legalize,
the British, the Americans, they will come and destroy you. They will turn this country to DRC Congo.
Wow.
Because we don't have time on the air. I could have told you the impact of all these British, Americans, all these other countries that are making sure that we don't get it right.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm looking forward to having that conversation with you at a different time, because Nigerians have held that suspicion for the longest time. This is my final question to you. This administration, well, has been in power for just about a year, and the tragedy continues unabated. So one would say, what is this government not doing? You have said that the government needs a little bit more time before they can be properly evaluated and scrutinized for their inability or lack thereof. This is January. By next month, this government or this administration would have been 1 year on that seat. What should they be doing as quickly as yesterday?
If Tinubu is listening to me, it should go to the DSS and get the list of the sponsors of insurgency and try them for treason. What they have conducted, what they are doing to us, to you, is treasonable. And that's why Buhari refused to try them. Now it's his turn. History will not judge him right. If he does not arrest those people, the names are already there. They didn't deny them. They should try them for treason and give them the maximum punishment to serve as deterrence to the one that are still doing it now. As we are here now, they are still doing it. So if there's no rule of law, if there's no justice, there can't be peace, Joyce. There can't be peace. There are theoretical linkages between some of these things we are saying. You want peace and there's no justice. There's no rule of law. We talk about drugs, we talk about people buying adulterated drugs, bringing from China. Nobody's punished. You arrest them, the judge will collect his own money, the police will collect their own, and everybody, life continues, and people are dying. So Tinubu should revisit that list. If he doesn't know, there's a list. and bring them out, try them properly. No kangaroo court. They should try them, because in the process, you know why they don't want to try them? In the process of trying them, you get more information. Wow. You will get more information, and they don't want those information to come out. So you should try that, because the history that is judging Buhari is waiting for him.
All right. Has really been a pleasure having you here. Thank you very much once again for being on Nigeria Info and sharing with us your honest views on insecurity in Nigeria. I really do look forward to having you back again at a later time.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you always.
Thank you.
I enjoy your program.
Thank you, sir, for this opportunity with you. Lagos, Nigeria, we have been speaking with Commodore Kunle Olaomi. And yes, now the telephone lines are open. The phone's been ringing the whole time. I know that all of you have questions. And as many questions as you have, I hope you come along with your answers on Nigeria Info 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-71-9-71-90, the sunny side. My name's Joyce.
Okay, have a lovely day. Bye.
Activate. We are radio active on 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Joyce.
Hello, Nigeria Info. You're on the sunny side. My name's Joyce. It's good to have you today. We hope to be particularly active towards some answers to the questions that we have. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Joyce.
Thank you very much for calling. Turn up the volume of your radio set. Tell us your name.
All right. Thank you. How was your weekend?
Good. Thank you.
I will tell you Happy New Year now.
Happy New Year to you.
God bless you.
And to you, too.
Thank you for a good job.
Thank you.
Joyce, if I dey shout for this station, you will not understand why I'm shouting. This man that is speaking so, he speaks 100% truth. So, this government we have now, is not let to try those people. It's to kill them. That is it for this country to settle. Not to try them at all. Because the politicians behind what we are going through in this country have been saying it. So he's not saying, forging anything. It's the truth, Joy.
Yeah,
let it go after them. If the other one was a stranger, this one is Nigeria now. They should go after those people.
The government has to determine.
Thank you.
Okay, the judicial system has to determine what is necessary punishment for whatever crimes that they may or may not be found guilty of. So wishing them death can be, a latent urge to practically just pay the price for everyone who's died due to their action or inaction. But we are banking on the judiciary to do something about this issue that's claiming lives on a daily basis. The sunny side, my name's Joyce. What's your name?
Hello, good afternoon, Joyce.
Thank you very much for calling.
This is Mazuga.
Good.
Joyce, please, if our president of Nigeria, Tinubu, don't know that this man is existing, please, I want Nigerian Info to introduce this man to Tinubu, so that this man will help to solve the problem of Nigeria, because he knows everything. Please. Thank you.
All right. That's on your side. It's good to have you join the conversation. Hello.
Good afternoon, Jesse.
Good to have you. Nigeria Info, so good to have you join the conversation. Welcome.
Hello, good afternoon.
Turn off the volume of your radio set. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. I'm moving away from the radio.
What's your name?
My name is Olayemi.
Welcome, Yemi.
From Ogombo.
Okay. Okay.
Hello, George.
I'm with you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me very well?
I can. The sunny side. Good to have you here. The volume of your radio set.
Hello, Joyce.
Hello, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, good afternoon. This is the Machant man.
Good.
From everything this man has said, my heart has been bleeding. Imagine the amount of truth that we have been hidden away from. In as much as these people who call themselves our leaders know that the amount of people who are destroying Nigeria are not Nigerians. And somebody who we believe, as a result of the fact that the other person who was there was giving these terrorists a cover because they are, so to say, from his tribe, now, the present government is trying to play political correctness. And this is the reason why we believe that by the time somebody who is neutral from the environment, these people have been wreaking havoc, will be in power, there will be changes. But what we see is an increment in what has been happening. Are they not owing Nnamdi Kanu apology? Because from the look of things are getting worse. He said that Somalia will be better than Nigeria. Is Somalia not better than Nigeria? You see the amount of people being killed every day, being kidnapped, and nobody is saying anything. Is it not high time we apologize for Nnamdi Kanu and release him? Because I don't see reason why things are happening. Strangers are taking over our land, and we are pretending we are upholding one Nigeria. Before you know what is happening, the whole of this country will be overrun by foreigners, and we will not have a country again. Is it not high time we as a people stop pretending and call a spade a spade? Thank you so very much for inviting this wonderful man for this program this day. God bless you, Joyce. You are a wonderful person.
Thank you so very much for calling. His name is Kunle Olaomi. Commodore has served this nation with all of his might. I remember one time he said to me, I've killed for this country. And it was quite a humbling moment, even for me, just listening to him speak so proudly about his service for this nation. And sometimes I wonder what Nigeria pay men like this. Not necessarily, I don't mean monetarily. I wonder what the Nigerian state pay men who lay down their life for this country. Men who wake up, go out and kill for the defense and peace of this country. I wonder what they're paid. Well, we can assume when we look in the news. And isn't it interesting that we report more of the kidnappings and the killings and not much of the men who died during the course of service? I guess this may be a situation where the tragedy is greater than the men who rise up to contend with tragedy. Well, if you're wondering, I did ask him the question. Last year, November 2023, service chiefs appeared before House of Representatives. They raised up some issues, issues I highlighted. They say vehicles for police divisions, insufficient patrol vehicles, poor logistics, inadequate training, poor welfare. And according to our guest this afternoon, he says those are not the issues. There are other latent issues, issues that may require a leader of will to tackle head on. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Welcome, it's good to have you here.
Hello?
Good to have you. Thank you. Tell me your name. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Shegu.
Welcome, Shegu.
Now, I discovered that oftentimes people who try to mold opinion for Nigerians come from the point of view of maybe anger, frustration, and the disappointment of seeing a nation that has not worked. Now, I think the Commodore spoke well, but I think, on the other hand, it is devoid of leadership and developmental...
Hold on a second. Let's fix that real quick, because that needs to be fixed. You say people who try to shape opinions come from anger and frustration. I read a list of... kidnap stories in the month of December alone.
Yeah.
If one of those people were your children, you wouldn't have this opinion. In fact, right now in the news, on Twitter, there are people crowdfunding for people within kidnappers' claws. If you had your daughter there, you wouldn't have this opinion. So don't posture. Hold on a second. Hold on, please.
Right.
Don't posture. And I'm happy you don't have that story. I'm happy your daughter isn't kidnapped, your wife isn't kidnapped. You are not kidnapped. I'm grateful for that. But please don't posture on radio.
I think you are a step ahead of me. Because guess what? I'm probably more frustrated than those people who are speaking. So you're just judging me from the angle of maybe the presenter, I can understand that.
No, I'm judging your statements because you say opinion shapers are frustrated. If you had a daughter who was in kidnappers' den and you didn't have 60 million, you would lose your nuts.
And if I have to come on radio, I'll be super frustrated, if you get what I mean. All of us are frustrated. But what I'm saying is those who are opportune to come up with, like the man who spoke now, his daughter has not been kidnapped or killed or whatever. You understand? So where I'm going is this. He ended up, I picked a very strong statement from what he said, that during war, the first casualty is truth.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's about one strong philosophy I picked from his submission, which is very good, I must say. But the point is this. Where my philosophy idea is coming from is this. You know, he ended up by saying, let's give this government a time.
Mm.
Which government are you going to give a time? The government is a product of that system that perpetuates the problem that we are in now. The individuals in the government, as we speak, are people that cannot change anything because they're a product of that thing. Now, he says he should go to DSS and arrest some people. Can a Tinubu do that?
You don't think Tinubu can?
So, Joyce, that's self-delusion.
Hold on a second. Just wait. Hold your breath. We're off on a break, yes. I guess. We'll be right back. If I have you there, hello, my caller. I guess he may have dropped off. On the other side of the hour, we're going to speak about a family. So apparently, kidnappers invaded an estate and captured just about anyone in sight. Now, one of the people captured, no, one set of family captured was a father and his six daughters. Father was released, six daughters. They asked for money he couldn't provide. They killed the first daughter. That's in the news. And that was even what I saw earlier on in the day yesterday. And then yesterday night, I read another story where another family within, you know, ill-fated during that operation they are reporting that their own daughter, one of their daughters, I think they had the kidnappers took wife and three children. Now, kidnappers killed the eldest daughter, who's a teenager, because the family couldn't raise $60 million. Now, the father was only able to give $5 million immediately, and then they killed one of his daughters. So last night, I watched the burial ceremony of another teenager. So we have a situation where kidnappers are killing children. So on the other side of the hour, we're going to talk about what became a cry on social media. Someone first put out this tweet saying we need to crowdfund for this family. That was for the first family. Now, at night, I saw the story of the other family and were asked, you know, the call was to crowdfund for the second family, another $60 million. Now, people are asking, how many families are we going to crowdfund for? Now, what is the consequence of crowdfunding to redeem people captured by bandits? That's one. Who remembers that in this country, we had a situation where... let me get to that story in this moment. 27th April 2022, if the break will allow me. Senate President Ahmed Lawan presides over plenary in the upper chamber of the National Assembly in Abuja. The Senate has prohibited the payment of ransom to kidnappers in its bid to complement the federal government's effort to tackle the disturbing spate of insecurity in the country. So I think we have a talking government, at least the last administration. A government that speaks but isn't quite proactive. I mean, if you feel at being proactive, then at least you can be active. So I'm not even sure the details, except from what we've heard from our guest this afternoon. But the tragedy is between what happened when this happened at plenary 2022-23-24. I read in your hearing a situation where in 1 month, they're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 stories. Please pardon me. This is random Google searches of stories reported. Kidnapped, kidnapping, killed. In December alone, 1 month, this is what we report. Night to 9.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. I want you to feel it. There's a temptation to remove yourself from it, but I want you to feel it. So the question I have for you is, do we crowdfund Or is it something that the people must do? So, well, maybe the people assume that they have no duty, something that must compel government. The men who have the policies, the guns, and the men to defend this nation. Is there something that the people must do? Or do we crowdfund? Because we can't allow Nigerians die like this. There's something about this that's not comprehensible. You know, where I wake up in the morning and I have to come on radio and talk about, hey, one teenager has killed, kidnappers have killed one. Oh, sorry, it's not one, it's two. Oh, sorry, it's not two, it's four. Oh, it's not four, it's 10. NYSC students, Nigerians who left home to serve nation, are in kidnappers' den. It's reported that a handful of them are still with kidnappers. They were kidnapped August 17th, 2023. And these updated reports I'm reading in your hearing came up in December. The Sunny Side. My name's Joyce. Let's talk.
Activate. We are radioactive on 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Joyce.
And then you give their godfathers sitting in government houses. I would say I agree with the opinion that General Buhari in the last 8 years or thereabout did virtually nothing, and I mean virtually nothing, in our fight against terrorism. If anything, he promoted and enhanced our hardship as far as the fight against terrorism was concerned. It's unfortunate that we are talking about our number one citizen as a den within the period of the last 8 years, a period which I refer to that Nigeria had no political leader. We saw all the lines of actions taken by the political strategic level of decision making. We saw all the lines of action taken even from the presidency. We saw how ministers who had business or things to do with terrorists were made to remain in their positions as ministers. One was even in charge of our entire national data. We could go on and on and on. We allowed undue sentiments right from the presidency to be visited in our alleged purported plan or action against terrorism. You could read religion, you could read tribalism, you could read ethnicity, and so on.
0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. So now people are saying, well, do we go on a protest to ask the government to fight insecurity and release Nigerians in captivity? Or do we crowdfund? Well, I'm not sure how you tilt, but if you say crowdfund, then the question is, how many Nigerians are we crowdfunding for? In December alone, I'm reporting 11 random stories. Let's get talking. We have work to do here. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joyce.
Nigeria Info. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, you have Emmanuel on the line. I'm calling from Ekwe.
Go ahead.
Joyce, our leaders don't take us serious. No, they don't see themselves as our servants. Until something is done that will make them see themselves as our servants, no, that is when they will begin to take us serious. Protests won't solve this issue. It might even add to our problem. Because the presence in Nigeria is structured in a way of which the powerful hold sway, you know. If we are talking about protest and it might lead to violence, there are some people who are sitting at the sideline waiting to benefit from it. You know, that was what happened in 1999. You know, when the military should go, the military should go. You know, at the end of the day, the military went away. You know, those who are cool-headed, you know, who can really govern this country, you know, we are not given the opportunity, you know. And then the military was even instrumental to the first presidents we had in this country. You know, that was how we started the mess, you know, and then today we are here. I said it, that one of the things that will begin to change the trajectory is if Nigeria begins to form their political parties. You know, and then a cap should be placed on it. The lowest should be like 500 naira from individual, and then the highest should be 5,000 naira, which means a President Tinubu can contribute only 5,000 naira, you know, to the APC. And then somebody who will contribute the lowest, you know, contributes 5,000. In a case of which somebody will come with 50 million naira, 100 million naira, 500 million naira, the person is going to tell you he owns the structure, he owns the ladder, he owns everything. You know, and then he can go to his bed to sleep. You know, you wake up, 100 people die. He might even care less or not care about it at all. And one of the most painful thing of all this is our military guys who even die in the hand of these terrorists. Sometimes when I talk about this thing, you know, it's just like something, a hammer hitting my head. I know how fantastic and how good the Nigerian military, I mean, military can stand. You know, but some of us, I mean, some Nigerians in this same security article, we leak information to bandits. The road the military guys we take, you know, we lose our military in 50s, in 100s, to this same nuisance. And then one of the most outrageous things they will tell us is that people committing these atrocities are not from Nigeria. They are from Niger. They are from Chad. Then why do we have Navy? Why do we have Army? And why do we have Air Force? Why do we have police? We have all these things. We have custom and we can't secure our territory. So, see, we need to break this system, you know, from beginning, and then we need to start fixing it. The present leadership can't fix this country. No matter how we protest, Lekito Gate, you know, was a terrain that was easy to navigate. But if people are dying in jaws, in Plateau, in perhaps Borno and some other places, they can't be easy access to the road, you know, to go and compare this thing. The leadership of this country is complicit. So until we do something that will make leaders believe they are our servants, we won't move from this place. Thank you and good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. So, I can understand that politically many of you are persuaded by one political party or the other. Some of you even have the situation with identity politics, and maybe rightfully so, given what you've had in the past. But then there are people who, at least today, I've heard quite a handful of people say that this administration can't address the issue of insecurity. Are there people who believe that, you know, the current administration is capable? I would like to hear what persuades, you know, your opinion. I have heard, oh, he can't because he's emerged from that material. And so there isn't probably much in him that can contend with the material that he's emerged from or a system where he's emerged from. Well, he may even want to argue against that, saying, well, I'm not a military person and I didn't emerge from that material. It remains to be debated and see what emerges from that debate. But if you're persuaded that this administration can, I'd like to hear your opinion. Because if this administration can't... All right. You're looking for foreign... This is a message here. Your name is Remy from Akoka. You say you're looking for foreign investors, but your citizens are on social media crowdfunding to rescue victims of kidnapping. We started by crowdfunding for education, medical bills, rent, and so on. Now it's moved to ransom. In 2024, at this point, Tinubu should just create a ministry for ransom settlement and negotiations and direct all the money they want to spend on security there, since they can't protect the lives and properties of the citizens. Let them assist us in settling the kidnappers then. 8 years of Buhari was business as usual for the kidnapping industry, and now under Tinubu it has gotten to another level. Thank you very much for your message. This one is asking, is Israel funding the release of captured Israelites during the October 7th Hamas attack? The more we crowdfund, the more we pay for our own insecurity. The Sunny Side, your Nigeria Info. Welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
Yes, thank you, Joyce. Shagun, I have to call back.
Thank you very much for calling back.
Now, your question was, do we go crowdfunding or protest?
Yeah, I mean, is there anything else we can do besides crowdfund? And how many people are you going to crowdfund for if you say crowdfund?
Well, the point is, let me limit my answer to your two options, and I'll choose one. Well, I'm not a party to crowdfunding, mm-hmm. because like one of your messages read out, you read out now. The more we crowdfund, the more we pay for our own insecurity. I think that sums it up. Auntie Joyce, I think the only way out for this country from history, and history has shown that, you know, we tend to look for the easy way out. That's where the crowdfunding thing came out from. But guess what? We are not going to change this country easily. That's my own thinking. And history has shown that violence has a way of resetting society, ideologies, people, and what have you. Yes, people will take advantage of it to some extent. But guess what? If it's deep, if it's decisive, if it's rough, at the end of the day, things will change for the better. And Rwanda is a good example. Yeah, people died. But guess what? It's the fastest growing economy today. Every Rwandan is proud to be a Rwandan. Isn't it? So, and don't let's deceive ourselves. We might not, it might seem as if we didn't achieve much from NSAS, but we will not take it away that even the hyenas in government now, the NSAS, you know, choked them a little bit. They knew that a generation is up there that can seize the thing and change it overnight if they don't. That's why they went the violent route. So, my position is that we, and like I said, history has shown that violence has a way of rearranging society. And we have gotten to that point where, look, Joy, I'm close to the military. An average colonel in the Nigerian army today is a multimillionaire. An average colonel who serves in the theaters here and there is a multimillionaire. How do you change that? You can't change it. Don't let's leave ourselves. So this country, like Morrissey, who said decades back, its disintegration is a question of time. If we don't disintegrate, the only thing we can do is that violence will reset the country, because we just have to do away with a group of people.
All right.
The system needs them no longer.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for being here.
Yes, yes. I listened to your guest, Lamont.
Mm-hmm. Am I losing you? I think you're breaking up.
Hello, okay.
Yeah, you are indeed breaking up. You may have to call me back. I apologize. You're going to have to call me back. Hello, the sunny side. Make it back, Nigeria Info. Night to 9.3 Nigeria Info, you're on the sunny side. My name is Joyce. So now Nigerians are suggesting crowdfunding for people currently and recently kidnapped and in a kidnapper's den. What's your opinion on that? Hello.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon to you.
My name is Robert.
Welcome, Rob. Go ahead.
Joyce, God bless you for this interview. Honestly, my eyes are very wide open. I've seen it all. I had it all. You can see that over the years, we are just pretending as if we are fighting insecurity. You can see where this is an insider or somebody that knows the integrity of everything is not telling us what is happening. But my greatest pain is that the innocent soldiers, you know, when somebody say you just go, just like David slept with Uriah's wife now, and Uriah come back home. Uriah did not even know what was happening. But David has the intention to kill the man to conceal his own secret. That is, so they go and fight. Meanwhile, the main something is there that some people know. And the innocent people are dying. They leave their family behind. What kind of wickedness is this, for God's sake? Look at what the man said. You can see why they say they kill so thing. He just wanted people die. They kidnap. When Buhari was even building that railway line to Niger, I was asking myself, what economic significance are we going to derive from Niger? what is coming from Niger to Nigeria that that is so important that we must build a real life to that country. If you go to the north, those who have been there have not been there. But I have friends, some of them are even fighting this insurgency in the war front. They said in the north, it's very poor. People can just throw in. You cannot differentiate between other country and our own country here. It's not as the one we have here that you have everybody in the block. So they can just come, they kidnap, they go to our butchers, they rape, they do every sort of thing. They go back again, they come back again. Are these mineral resources that this soldier mentioned? He mentioned a lot of them. I cannot even mention all their names.
All right,
what is Nigeria doing about this thing? You see the reason why they set up just Boko Haram? What is Boko Haram fighting for? Nobody knows. Joyce, I cannot say it all. Let me not take much of your time. Let other people call.
I appreciate you calling in. A good afternoon. The kidnapping is happening everywhere in Nigeria, just that some of the kidnapped victim cases are not reported in Asaba. Some gang of kidnappers are terrorizing Asaba. When they kidnap you, they force their victims to do transfers or they use POS to remove their money. I ask the question, can't these accounts be tracked, traced, and apprehend them? This is Richard from Asaba. Thank you very much, Richard, for your question. From what we gather in terms of registration of citizens in Nigeria, the answer to this question is a yes. The question is, if the answer is yes, then why do we have it otherwise? Well, that's where the government comes in. The Sunny Side is good to have you here. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hello?
Turn up the volume of your radio set.
My name is Moses.
Turn up the volume of your radio.
Hello, my name is Moses.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Joyce, I'm crying for Nigeria. I'm short of words. Nigeria is so corrupt. I'm crying. My brothers, they don't kill about my three brothers, soldiers. Nigeria government will just send you out. They kill you. You just die like that. No money to pay to your people. Nothing. They just go like that. Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello?
I'm with you. Okay. I think you cannot hear me. I think you can't hear me. Please call back, okay? Please. Thank you. If you can hear me, call me back. Nigeria Info, you're on the Sunny Side. I have a caller here from overseas. Tell us your name. Go ahead.
Hey, Joyce. How are you doing?
Good.
Sugar Daddy calling from Canada.
Thank you very much for calling.
Jimmy, this usually says, what's the value of a Nigerian life? Because at this point, you keep asking yourself, do we even have a government? Why do I need to pay tax when, at the end of the day, my basic needs are not met? Because it feels like everybody's just out for themselves, and they are doing that at the expense of the general public. I think you played a comment from, I think two or three, or was it up to even five different African countries, where they are taking measures in order to cut their cost in order to meet the needs of the people. But it seems ours is the other way around. You see a president that says, oh, he's coming to help. The wife even came out and said, oh, we already have money. We don't need the money. And it's not even up to even a year. And she's asking for millions in order for cash for in non-existent office position, because last I checked, I did not see Remi Tinubu's name in the ballot for an office position. So I just don't understand this country. And the situation is that I think to an extent I will still blame the citizens, because Marianne Okon was in her show, she runs this poll where people talk about which of the news they think should take priority, and every single person that was actually commenting, we're commenting on topics that would affect them personally. Nobody is ever thinking about things that would affect the general public, and which in turn would affect you more than you think it will. I don't understand why we are this selfish, because at the end of the day, how much do you need to live on or to survive as a human being? When is enough going to be enough? Because it seems they keep stealing millions, billions, billions, billions. For crying out loud, a past military ruler has been giving us money for decades, and the money still keeps coming. This is the Western world. They know this about us, and that is where they keep hitting and hitting. They know that our greed, Our level of greed is insatiable. There's no amount that you give a Nigerian politician that they will not lose it. Because I look at them and
so
I'm like,
this,
okay,
is it
what
is it going to be crowdfunding or... Because given where we are right now, something has
how
to
many
give.
People? How many people are we going to crowdfund?
So what should the people do? So what should the people do at this point? Like, there is an urgency at this moment.
At this point, I would advise everybody to at least to protect themselves, because it seems they keep saying Nigeria is not a failed state, but as far as I'm concerned, it's a failed state already. If at the end of the day, even the basic needs, you cannot even provide, and even security, which is really important. So I'm like, what is the guarantee that you leaving your home this morning to the radio station, you would get back safely?
All right.
You can't even obey the traffic rules at night just because you're scared somebody's hanging around to jump on you when you stop your car at the traffic light. It just doesn't make any sense.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Joyce.
Very much for calling. So I'm going to read what's in the news right now. This is just in. So I'm right now on the leadership.ng. And here is a paragraph. Kidnappers who abducted 10 people. Hold on a second. Give me a moment, please. 10 people from an estate in Abuja, January 7th, have killed two more of the abductees to send a strong warning to their relatives negotiating ransom payment. From information gathered, after killing some of the kidnapped victims, the bandits increased their demand from the initial 60 million naira per person to 100 million naira, now totaling 700 million naira. This is darkness. Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Welcome to the show. My name's Joyce. What's your name?
Lady J. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for calling.
I'm not going to find you from Satellite Health.
Thank you very much for calling. Real quick, go ahead.
You are doing a very fantastic job. After hearing your guest today, I cannot help but continue to weep for my beloved country. But I don't know how long I'm going to keep weeping, because all this while, we've only been looking at the immediate causes of what is happening in this country. But he has, like a master surgeon, been able to give us insight, a surgical operation into the remote causes of what is happening. Little wonder the Middle Belt cannot find peace. Little wonder the Northeast cannot find peace. We are now dealing with a state capture. Regardless of how we see it, this country is under capture. It's under siege. Corruption and lack of political will has festered to a point where the center can no longer hold. Because from the analysis of that expert intelligence officer, we cannot accept to conclude then that the solution to this problem is not going to come any sooner. Because even the man at the saddle is a product of the system we are condemning. Crowdfunding will not solve this problem, Joyce. What is going to solve this problem is what I will call people-driven revolution. Because nobody knows who's going to be next. We seem to think we're safer in Lagos. But hey, look at what is happening in Abuja, the seat of power. Where people have been kidnapped, even from estates. I just saw in the news one young child was killed, in addition to about two people were killed out of my brother, about 10 or 7 that were abducted from an estate. And this continues on and on, all over the country, from north to south, east to west. This continues unabated. This has become, it appeared intractable now. Because like that officer was saying, that retired officer was saying, What stops the past and successive administrations from going after the list of those sponsors of terrorism in this country? What stops them? If they are not colluding, if they are not partners in crime in this criminal enterprise...
Pardon me. I hate to interrupt you. I have to be off on a break. Sincere and deep apologies, okay? Please, I'm off on a break right now. I have to be off on a break.
Okay.
All right, please. So hold on. I'll be right back. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. So in about 3 minutes from now, first CRT is going to kick off conversation on education. And, you know, as I told you earlier on, this allows you some insight into all your opportunities, the best opportunities as far as education goes, and your choice when you decide to choose a kind of education, a location for education. This conversation will continue tomorrow, and rightfully so, because there is an update out of Abuja. Remember the story we were trying to deal with this afternoon, kidnappers of the Abuja estate? Well, there is a developing situation from that singular story, and I do intend to continue this story tomorrow. So sincere apologies to those who are on the telephone lines right now. I ask that you please endeavor to contain the rage, and then we'll back into the conversation tomorrow on the sunny side. All right. Thank you. In the meantime, I would ask that you play to win 20,000 Nigerian Naira today. In the next 20 minutes, play and play quickly. Play. You can win 20,000 Naira on the show today. Dial *347*880*3# on your phone, or you go to the website. Yes, the website, oneplay.ng. You play, every chance is going to cost you 500 Nigerian Naira. You play today, you get into the draws today. I'm really going to wait until 2:55 before I command a draw. And with that, you could win 20,000 Naira this afternoon, okay? Remember to send me your intentions to be on the program, The State, which kicks off next month. Remember, you can leave me your intention on Twitter, Joyce Onyemowa on Twitter, or on Instagram, Joyce Onyemowa on Instagram. You can come into the Nigeria Info FM studios. You're going to have opposition, but you're coming to defend your estate. There will be cross-examination. With that, you go at the other estate, attack what's not good, and they will do the same, but you must have just enough wit and information to defend your estate. And then, of course, finally, we'll talk about the things that must be done by each state. All right. So since you have that information, I'm going to quickly go off on a break. When I return, first CRT's in the building. This is 99.3. We are Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Don't go anywhere.